peoples of the interwebs, tis I, Christy.
And me, Kelly.
And you're back joining us once again at Unnerved, a horror movie podcast.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Welcome back, or welcome for any newcomers.
Yeah, if you're new here, welcome. Christy and I watch a horror movie every other week, and then we just talk about it. Fun facts, the plot.
We either rave about it, or we rage and
against the
tear it apart. Or we're both like... at ends with each other. Like,
oh, yeah.
I like my slashers. Kelly likes her supernatural shit.
Mm-hmm.
We have our preferences, mm-hmm. but then again, I also like everything.
You do.
I like everything.
If it's a good movie, it's a good movie. You know, like, appreciate
it. I'll watch anything.
That's true, you will.
We have to add one that's called Don't Look in the Fucking Attic.
Like, yes.
I was like, the title alone, I wanted to watch it. But this week, we are covering It Follows from 2015, which was recommended to us by my new friend, Corey.
Hello, Corey. Thank you for listening. I don't know if I should say thank you for this recommendation. I appreciate it, but it's this movie, though.
It sounded like a thank you for your consideration.
Thank you for your consideration.
But I hate it.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Which... Corey did mention to us, or to me, I should say, by the way, that he is really enjoying the podcast.
Oh, thank you!
Salt.
Oh, gosh.
So there's our live reaction to that. but anyways, let's dive into it. We have quite a bit to cover, and we really want to get to our next movie. So,
yeah,
Kelly, hit us with the cast.
Okay, Micah Monroe, I think that's how you say your name.
Sure.
As Jamie J, they pretty much refer to her pretty much as J. Height, she's your main character.
She's Height.
Keir Gilchrist is Paul. Baldwin, I guess.
He was Height.
He very gaunt looking individual. Yeah. Like if you watch interviews with that guy, he is all bone structure.
Oh yeah.
He could be a model, honestly. Okay. Olivia Lucardi is Yara. She's the one with the little clamshell phone.
She was the most attractive.
Yeah.
Female, in my opinion.
Lily Sepp is Kelly Height, who plays Jay's sister. Daniel Zavato is Greg.
Fuck boy.
Yeah, he's the one that lives across the street from them. And Jake Weary is Hugh or Jeff. So this is the guy that attacks Jay.
It's a long story.
We'll get into it. He's the one that he initially passes.
He's the
on.
Boyfriend.
Yeah.
Or turned ex-boyfriend.
Yes. And then Bailey Sprite is Annie Marshall, who is the girl at the very, very beginning in the opening sequence. We don't see for very long.
Yes. So.
Oh, directed by David Robert Mitchell, who also wrote it.
Awesome.
Which is important because we're about to shit all over his movie.
Yep. We're gonna do that. So, starting off in the movie, we have a young woman named Annie who is running in fear in circles in front of her house, runs into her house, grabs the keys, and just starts driving it away, which, good on her for how well she's running in them heels.
Yeah, she kinda look fly. She do.
Yeah, she do.
Also, her name is based off of the girl in one of Lori's friends in Halloween, Annie.
Yes. She drives to the beach.
Beach?
where she leaves a message for her dad over the phone saying that she loves him, blah, blah, blah. Dawn approaches, and we then see her brutally murdered with her, like, one of her legs is up and, like, bent all the way back, so it's kind of like...
This has got to be your favorite gore moment, because it's the only gore moment.
Yeah, you're right. Well, no, there's stuff in the pool, but, like, this is
better.
This is the best. Right away, we have the best part of the whole movie, and it's over in 5 minutes.
And one of our only, count 'em, two deaths the entire movie!
Whoa, way to spoil my kill count.
Sorry.
How dare you?
I'm sorry.
I quit. Guys, yeah. I quit. She took my one joy away from me, which is counting deaths.
To be fair, there's no joy in this movie.
This is fair. You're like, you have a glimmer of happiness. Yoink.
I'm gonna take that and live in it myself for an episode.
Damn it. but then afterwards, we have Jay, who's going on her date with her new boyfriend, Hugh.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to the movies, mm-hmm. and they're playing this game where they're pointing out people, and, like, hey, are you thinking about this person? Would you want to switch places with this person?
Yeah.
He points out a young girl in the back of the theater, and she's like, I don't see anybody. And he's like, we gotta go! And we're like,
panic! Panic button! And she's trying to, like, ascertain what just happened. She's asking him questions. Do you, like, know him? Is it know her? Is that an old ex-girlfriend?
Yeah, like, what up? So they go to, like, a diner, and they get some food and whatever, and then takes her home. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Next day, Jay is talking to her sister, and he's like, XYZ happened. I don't know. It was really weird, real sketch.
And Kelly goes, well, have you had sex with him yet? She's like, no, we're not there yet. But I think she wants to.
Yeah, she's got the itch.
Mm, the itch.
She's got the look.
The look?
She got the look.
She got the feeling?
I got a feeling.
No.
I'm just making weird faces at Kelly while singing.
Quite entertaining on my end.
But it's next date time.
Is this where she's looking in the mirror and she's putting on that little cute pink dress?
Yeah.
Oh. Or was that the movie date?
Movie date, she was wearing a dress.
Okay.
But she wears a dress on the next date, too. She wears boring clothes. I don't like any of her clothes. I'm done.
That's fair.
I'm over it. It's all pastels, pinks, whites, and I'm like,
What they tried to do with this movie was make it almost dreamlike, is what I was reading, in the fact that you can't quite tell what time period it's from, which is true. So
I don't get dreamlike, I just get
poor quality?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I get. I don't care if they don't have phones or anything. I don't care what time frame it's aiming to
be. If you're gonna have no phones, then you can't have the weird clamshell thing that Yara has in this movie.
No one had those. No one has ever had those.
It was like a Kindle on a clamshell phone.
Clamshell flip phone.
Yes.
I'm confusion.
Apparently, flip phones, an early, like, slang term for flip phones was clamshells, because they open and close on a clamshell. But I didn't make that, maybe I'm too young, but I didn't make that comparison. I was just like, what the heck is that? And why is she reading, why would you read a book off of it? It's the size of one of those makeup cases that you would look in, like, a mirror to fix your makeup on your face. You cannot read a book. If you're reading a book off of that, get your eyes checked. That's my rant.
So, thank you for your rant. There will be many.
This movie sucks.
So next date happens, and Jay's like, let's go to your car, and they do it in his car. And then we get the poster
art. Can I just say that we do get the poster art. He got nice back muscles.
I do like the back muscles.
Nice back muscles.
Yeah, I'm not mad about those.
No, I'm not all. Not like, all.
Best part of the whole fucking movie.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah. I can't think of anything better.
I can't either. I can't place anything that might be better in this movie.
But then he goes to take a wicked whiz while she's just rambling on about
I don't know
whatever.
What she's talking about.
I don't know. And so he chloroforms her. As you do.
You know, after sex chloroform?
After you do the sex, you gotta chloroform your girl, and then you tie her to a wheelchair,
mm-hmm.
and you be like, girl, I gave you an ST demon. Here are the rules. It's gonna follow you by just walking, and it's gonna walk the same amount of time
mm-hmm.
every time,
mm-hmm.
and it's gonna look cray cray. Like, it's gonna look like naked old ladies.
You gonna know that it's not.
You gonna know. You gonna learn today. And then he's like, oh, it's getting closer. And then wheels her closer. Okay, see that? That's the thing.
And don't let it touch you.
If it touches you, you dead.
You super dead. And we shouldn't be in the same place, because I'm
nervous. If you die, then I die.
Yeah.
So now you're next on the list, and I'm after you. So what you gotta do is you gotta go have sexy sex with another person and continue the line
mm-hmm.
to, like, widen the gap
yep.
between us and the demon. So
yep.
good luck with your sex stuff. I'm gonna go.
So then he takes her in the car and
drops her off at her house
in the middle of the road.
Kicks her out and drives away. And she's, like, still in underwear.
Like, full-on almost rape here. Like, it was consensual it, sex, yes, but it was assault.
It looks like he straight up raped her hardcore and just dumped her off.
Yeah.
Which, the sex was consensual.
The assault, the ST demon, as you put it.
The ST not. Demon. The sexually transmitted demon.
Definitely not.
We did not consent.
And that's kind of like the underlying message. We're calling this, it's like an STD that manifests as this thing that stalks her.
Yeah. So now she's going to just be held up in her home mm-hmm. with her friends and sister and be like pouty and like upset, which.
Understandably upset.
It is trauma. Straight up trauma. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that this is a horror movie, and this is the person we're supposed to connect to.
I think we should talk about, at the very end, once we're done covering the plot, better ways they could have done this metaphor.
Yes.
But we'll get there.
Yes.
We'll get there.
So, police can't find anything about a naked woman or of this guy, Hugh. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he's using a false identity.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was squatting in a house or something. They couldn't find where he lived.
Yeah, he was a squatter.
Yeah, so they have no leads.
Yeah. So, Jay's like, I'm going to school. And she sees out the window that an old woman in a hospital gown is walking towards her.
She get nervous.
And she's invisible to others. So she beelines it to where her sister and her friend Paul are working, which is, like, this little ice cream shop.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, well, you can't be alone. We will go with you and just spend the night, and we'll chill out at home and have, and whatever.
And Paul's making, fuck me eyes at her.
Oh, yeah, we know that Paul's got the big old puppy dog crush. He's like, yes, I like you. Mm-hmm, I want mm-hmm. to do something about this.
Yes.
But first we have to get over your trauma of your ex-boyfriend. Because
I gotta wait.
I gotta hold the phone.
And Kelly's like, you have no chance.
Right. So that night, while Jay and Paul are talking, someone smashes a window.
Yeah, and they were having this heart-to-heart about how they were friends as kids, and they were each other's first kiss. And
it's kind of set up that, like, Jay looks like she's, like, not wearing anything underneath that blanket.
Yeah.
And I was like, is she trying to seduce Paul so she can just pass it along? That's really fucked up
mm-hmm.
to do to your BFF Paul.
Yeah. For real? Poor BFF Paul, oh my gosh.
Poor BFF Paul. But the window smashes, Paul goes to investigate but sees no one, and inside the house, Jay sees a disheveled, urinating, half-naked woman walking towards her. She kind of looks like a beaten-up prostitute.
This is really sad. This is sad bean hours.
Yeah. And Jay runs upstairs to warn the others, but they can't see the entity.
Full-on hyperventilating.
Yeah. And then we get the wonderful jump scare of the tall man.
Yeah, so Yara knocks on the door, they let her in. She's like, don't open the door because the entity was behind Yara or whatever. And then it comes out of the gloom and this 7'7" tall human. Oh my god, it is scary.
He's that tall in real life.
He is. Well, you said he's one half of a pair of twins, the tallest twins of the world.
Yep, and the Guinness Book of World Records, him and his bro.
Yes.
And that's how he landed this role. They're like, hey, you tall, want to be in our movie? And he was like, yeah.
I mean, me too. I would, if someone asked me.
I mean, you're short. I'm short. Okay, we're not going to be in the movie because we're average
sized. The guy's name is Mike Lanier? Lanier?
Mm-hmm. But the tall man enters the bedroom. Jay flees the house, and her friends try to catch up to her at a nearby playground.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg, the neighbor, saw all of this.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm going to join the party.
Yeah. He literally does. He just invites himself into this party.
He do. But he's like, I got a car. We can take my car.
Yeah. He is the transportation.
Yeah. So he's like, hey, everybody, let's go in my car. we gonna go to, like, my family's, like, vacay cabin mm-hmm. on the lake. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be great. You'll get away for a bit. Forget about your ex. It's gonna be great.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Yeah. So, they, actually, before they do that, they discover who Hugh's real name is, and he's Jeff.
Jeff.
His name's Jeff.
Jeff, and this is her,
the ex-boyfriend.
Ex-boyfriend.
So they track him down and have a conversation with him, and he's like...
He fully explains the rules to the group.
Yes, which he had already mentioned to Jay, but Jay clearly wasn't paying attention, but that's also fair. She was chloroformed and woke up in a scary situation. I can understand blocking out all the events of that evening.
So, yeah, and they get all, and now all the friends know.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff is clearly on edge.
Well, yeah, because he can see the...
Mm-hmm. So he can still see the entity even though he's passed it on to her.
Yeah, so we see, like, random people walking around behind them that kind of look like they're always walking towards them. So yeah. That's why he and Jay are constantly, like, freaking out at every person they see.
Yeah. And because it can take the shape of someone they know, it's not like they...
Can take the shape of anything.
Yeah, which is any person.
Which is terrifying. But... Not terrifying enough.
We will talk about it.
So, they're gonna go to the lake house. And they teach Jay how to use a revolver. Not well.
Well enough.
Yeah, you were like, she's shooting with her eyes closed.
Oh, gosh.
This bitch.
Okay, so listen, ladies and gentlemen. She was shooting, like, straight bullseyes. I believe she was hitting everything on target, wasn't she?
Not really.
I thought
near the end, yeah, but like.
Yeah, near the end. But the way she's shooting her gun is every time she pulled the trigger, she closed her eyes. She closed her eyes! And like, oh my god.
The way she held the gun.
Oh, the way she held the gun, it was just wrong. All of it was wrong. Don't close your eyes when you shoot a gun. Just don't do that. Don't do it. Don't stop. Put it down. You don't need it. You're not good enough. Stop it.
You're not good enough.
Stop it.
I want that as a ringtone, so every time you text me, not good enough. Be like, oh, that's Kelly.
Savage.
Stop it.
So, yeah, she shoots a gun. I blocked that from my memory, but you brought that back up. That's back
I'm
now.
Sorry I re-brought up a repressed core memory
so
for
bad.
You. So then they're chilling out along the beach. Yara's hanging out in the water for a bit. And the naked lady sneaks up behind Jay and pulls her hair. And everybody sees her hair go up.
I hate this. I hate this because it touches you, you die. No playing with the hair. No,
I think...
Like, come on.
I don't think Hugh understood well enough. I think...
That's true.
I think it was more like, if it catches you...
You die.
It will wreck you. It yeah. wasn't like a... If it boops you on the nose, you're just gonna die.
I kind of like boop on the nose death, though. But anyway, it touches her. Hair goes up. The entire party freaks out. Because
yes.
How can you not? And also, Greg... is off peeing.
Yeah.
This is important. He did not see this.
Yeah.
And then Paul gets wrecked. He gets flat out
well,
wrecked.
Because Paul tries to beat whatever invisible entity is there with a chair. It shatters the chair and then it yeets Paul.
Yeets him. Yeet.
Yeah. He's been yeeted off screen.
Oh, totally.
He's still around. He's not yeeted out of the equation. But he's just yeeted off screen.
It was pretty impressive.
Yes. So now everybody's in a panic, and they run into, like, this shed-like beach area.
She shoots it.
Yeah, they make it to her she-shed.
Her she-shed.
Can we get insurance on my she-shed? and they're just shooting at the entity, which Greg is, like, behind the entity. So he's like, why are you shooting?
Stop! Yeah.
I'm like, that's how he's gonna get shot, but he doesn't. She does hit the entity.
In a way that would have killed a normal person.
Yes. But
get back up.
But then it busts through the door. Like, it busts the bottom part of the door.
Yeah, it don't care.
And then it's like this tiny, like, 11-year-old skinny boy just going, ah, like, in the middle mm-hmm. of the open doorway.
Tell me how you really feel about that scene.
I hate it. I hate it because, like, whenever I say I hate something in a movie, it's not because I'm, like, scared by it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I hate being scared. No, it's because I'm like,
oh, it's bad.
It's bad. That's the reason whenever I say I hate something, it's because I hate it because it's bad.
Yeah.
Not because, oh my gosh, I hate it. It was so scary. Like, oh my god. No.
That'd be more me, but even, I'm not, this movie isn't scary. It, minus that one scene where that guy comes up behind Yara and he's 7'7", he comes out of darkness and his eyes are, like, not there. That is actually scary. But that's the only part of the movie that's scary.
I mean, if it was, like, a short, like, student film and that was, like, the scene that they went with for...
Absolutely.
That would have been
terrifying.
Great. That would have been excellent. But there's a whole other beginning and end of that that is
there's a whole
trash.
Other hour in 25 minutes of this movie that are not good.
You're right. You're right. Yee.
Yeah. Not great.
Jay manages to get out of there and steals his car. And everybody's like, you're yeah. leaving us here.
So she leaves. She goes to the beach, right? The beach?
Does she go to the beach?
When does she go to the beach?
Oh,
no. She crashes the car here. I'm sorry.
That's right. And that's how she ends up in the hospital.
And she breaks her arm.
Yeah.
I thought it would be hilarious if this is where she died. If it just catches up to her.
It would be great. But, Gray. Everybody then makes it to the hospital because she didn't crash that far from the people.
They could trace her.
They're the ones that got her to the hospital. So Greg is gonna have sex with Jay at the hospital.
This is weird. It's in the hospital bed.
Which, okay, did you think everybody was in on this plan?
Yes.
I think so too. I think it was common knowledge in the group and it wasn't just those two being sneaky about it.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Minus the fact that they had to be sneaky in order to do it without, a nurse knowing. Imagine your heart rate goes up and the nurses come in.
What are you doing in here? Are you dying? No.
I'm having a great time.
Is she, though?
Okay, she's
She
not.
Doesn't look like she's enjoying it.
She's not into this. She's not. And I don't think Greg believes her.
No. And I think that's why he was like, yeah, I'll do it.
He gets to smash.
He gets to smash.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck boy Greg Hours.
Yeah,
he gets to smash.
He do.
So, days later, Jay sees the entity form, go up to Greg's house, and smashes in a window, and goes in, and she tries to warn him by telephone. He don't answer. She tries to run up to the house, and she can't get a hold of him, but she sees the form as Greg's half-naked mother knocking on his door.
Yep.
Like, acknowledges her and is pretty much just like, don't worry, honey, I'm getting to you next, but first I gotta deal with this guy.
Yeah.
And he lets her in, and it's very explicit.
This is a rape scene.
Yeah, the entity rapes Greg in the form of his half-naked mom. And murders him.
With, electricity also somewhere in there? Flashes a light? Kind of weird.
The energy.
That, with the energy.
It was electric. Boogie woogie. It follows electric boogie.
I was gonna say, it's going down to Electric Avenue. But this is really uncomfortable. This is really not okay. But it essentially saps...
Yeah.
Greg's life energy.
We
Greg
see
does.
How it technically kills, and it's doing the same activity that warrants it to follow you.
Yes.
Plain and simple.
I just don't like it.
You know, okay, I literally just had this on. So Jason from Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
He murders because people have sex.
Yeah.
I want to see the movie where Jason versus the entity.
Jason would totally win.
I know, but I want to see it happen.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'm down. But would Jason be, like...
He, at this point, would be a supernatural being because of how many times he gets resurrected.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
The entities.
The entities. I would love that movie, actually, and I want to just watch Jason only, on fire ripping
movies. Yeah, I was going to say, you've got only if the movie is particularly one-sided in the favor of Jason.
Oh, what if Jason... Okay, here's how the movie goes. So, Jason is murdering the victims of the entity before the entity can get to it, and then the entity gets, like, all salty, and he's like, boy...
I would love that. That would be great. That'd be really hilarious. And also could totally work, considering the ideas of what Jason is and does. Yeah, 100%.
It's pretty much Freddy versus Jason, but instead Freddy, or Jason versus
the entity. It.
No, it is Pennywise.
They call him It in interviews.
I know.
I don't know,
like,
why.
That's confusing. So if you said Jason versus It, everybody's going to just assume.
Well, I would also like that, but Pennywise would be Jason.
Yeah, that is true.
Pennywise would murder Jason in about 2 seconds.
This is true. But, like, if you want everybody to understand what they're paying for, Jason versus the entity.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That
because,
is good.
Yeah, as the title. Because if you did Jason versus It, you're just going to assume Pennywise.
And that is...
And then you pay for something that you didn't want. Because this shit's also involved. All right. Well,
Greg and Jay have sex in the hospital bed.
And Greg dies.
Yep.
By mommy.
Mm-hmm.
Mommy entity. And then now they're on a beach.
Yeah, so she gets in her car and runs away because the entity's right there. So she has to get some distance between her and the entity.
Yep.
So she falls asleep on the hood of her car and in the morning wakes up on a beach.
She sees three young men on a boat. She then undresses and walks into the water.
Question. Because this was completely left open. And I read some stuff online. And I'm like, that's not what I thought happened. I just thought she went to take a swim to cool off and wash herself. People think that she went and had sex with the three men on the boat.
I think that she just went for a swim because it was kind of just... That was her constant cool down. We see it at the beginning of the film. We see it before this even. And, like, her and water... kind of just go hand in hand with this movie, and I think it was literally just her trying to de-stress after what she just saw.
That's what I also think. Also, if a random woman stripped on a beach came up to your boat, would you have sex with her?
I mean, unless... No, not really.
No, not at all. Not in the state that she appears in, which is not good.
No.
Disheveled. Discombobulated.
Yeah. Honestly, I think it was just her cooling down. Because her pool's wrecked.
It is wrecked.
So she couldn't just use her pool. But then, yeah, she goes back home. Paul is willing to take the risk and offers Jay the opportunity to pass it on him, and she refuses.
Is this where he awkwardly kisses her? Or tries to kiss her?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is no.
But then he's like, I have a plan!
Do.
Whoa, Paul, you have a plan? So they're like, we're gonna kill the entity, right? We're gonna lure it into a swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
An indoor swimming pool. And then we're going to, once you lure it into the water, you get out and we're gonna put a bunch of electronic appliances into the pool and it's gonna zap it.
Not a bad idea.
No, not a bad idea.
Hilarious, though, how this turns out.
So... Jay waits in the pool, the entity spots her, realizes that there's other, like, stuff happening around, and it's apparently in the form of her deceased father.
Yes, that is true. I caught that at the end of the movie. There's a picture of her dad that we see.
Yeah, but if you're not paying attention...
You're not gonna know.
You're not gonna know. But, instead of entering the pool, it's all smarticle, and decides to just start flinging appliances at Jay in the pool.
So I misspoke. Along with Jeff Hughes back. That guy, that being amazing, him throwing appliances at Jay in the water, also hilarious.
It's like two.
It's hilarious.
It's second. It's a close second.
It's good. That's the other part of this movie. It's not good because it's meant. It's not good because it was written and it's good film. It's good because it's absolutely hilarious.
It's funny.
It's so
we're like,
funny.
Toaster! What?
But the thing is, the entity isn't smart enough to know that these things are plugged in for electrical reasons. So instead of just kicking in the appliances, it is full on baseball swing as hard as it can at Jay's face. So great.
I think that it didn't want to kill her that way.
That could be.
I think it's still smart enough to be like, hey, I'm going to foil their plan, wreck havoc, make her scared, and then once I get a hold of her, I'll kill her the normal way.
Okay.
Normal way, jeez.
The way that it does the things.
Right. But Paul just starts shooting willy-nilly. They do get sheets on it so that he can aim at it.
Mm-hmm.
And he shoots it, and it falls into the pool.
And she gets out.
Right.
Well no, not right away.
The entity pulls her underwater by the ankle, and Paul starts shooting again. Also, Paul shot one of the friends.
He did.
He shot Yara. She's fine. She just got grazed. But, like, yeah, that's what you get for just shooting up without, like, any regard where everybody is. But Paul shoots again. Headshot, and it sinks to the bottom, and Jay escapes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see the pool fill with misty blood and all that.
Hot take? Should have ended the movie right there.
Should have. But, didn't. No. Jay and Paul have sex that night, and Paul drives through town and gets it on with a bunch of prostitutes, and then they walk down the street holding hands. We see a figure walking behind them, but is it the entity? Is it not the entity? We'll never know because the movie ends right there.
Thank God.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a movie.
That was a movie.
So, Kelly, what'd you think of a movie?
I have a lot of problems with it. I really, really like the concept of having an STD or some kind of sexually transmitted infection or something like that that haunts the people that it is infected, right? I think that is a really interesting social metaphor for the, you know, the shame and or the guilt that someone might feel for having something like that. Which, if you can get yourself treated, go get yourself tested and treated. It's not a big deal. But, and then be safe when you're having sex as much as you can. But this did not do that very well, and I think, like, if you have an STI, an STD, and you have sex, it's not just, like, that one person and then it's gone, right? It's, like, anyone that you sleep with, and I feel like this movie really didn't explore that at all, which is really interesting.
No. We could have had such a cool death count.
Yeah, we could have had something really different. I also think the way that the entity kills in this movie is completely off base. I don't think it's appropriate. I don't think it makes sense. I don't think it has any sort of, like, underlying meaning to it and stuff like that. Like, it's just gross. It's gross.
Yeah, I agree. It's just not a good thing. Also, the background music. I'm just gonna rant about this for a moment. I hated the background music. It made no sense. It wasn't good. It was louder than the rest of the film, so it wasn't mixed well. Unless you were trying to go for that, which, good for you, you ruined your film.
Do you want to know the name of the composer for this?
Sure.
Disaster Piece.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I mean, they were trying to go with a John Carpenter type of stuff, but, like, they failed.
It's not good. It's
John
not
Carpenter's
good.
Shit is good. This is not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have nothing else to say about that, but, like, just the music. I hated the music. It was bad. So, fun facts?
Do I have to?
I'll start.
I was gonna say, what did you think of this movie? What do you think about the metaphor? How do you think they could have done it better?
I think, okay, so, concept-wise, having an invisible entity.
Yeah, even taking out the metaphor, having an invisible entity that stalks an individual.
That
kind of cool.
That's based on, like, the Invisible Man. But, like, the concept of, like, you have sex, and it, we go through the STD thing, that concept could be explored in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
They chose to do that poorly.
Yeah.
So the concept itself is terrifying because, like, for instance, if you didn't know the rules,
mm-hmm.
and it was just passed on to you.
Yeah.
And you had to figure it out. That's it's just scary. That's terrifying, because you just became super vulnerable to something that you don't understand.
Yeah.
Or have any idea of, and then it kills you and your partner and all that. Whatever. However, doing it this way wrecked that concept to the point where it's not scary. It's just... it's what you... we'll go with what you said. It's gross. Because, like, you go from, like, oh, this entity can take whatever form it wants. But mm-hmm. it only really goes after, like, takes the form of people. It doesn't, like, form any other way.
Mm-hmm.
And then it... the forms that it takes are just, like, hyper-sexualized versions of even people that you know. Because we see her deceased dad. We or see half-naked mom. We see naked grandma. We see a prostitute. Like, we... and also... oh, okay, maybe not the 11-year-old boy. We don't need that.
Yeah, no. Nope, no.
But, like, if you wanted to make, like, a cool slasher... like, have it kill a different way,
mm-hmm.
but stick with the STD demon. Have it be where it's, like, the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah.
And make it more of a slasher than taking it super seriously. Like, have a giant... this is gonna be real bad. Have a giant orgy. Nobody knows who's next.
That's kind of fun, though, the idea of that.
Nobody knows who's next, and then it just, you just see someone just all of a sudden get, like, axed.
Yeah.
Like, have a giant gash just appear
mm-hmm.
across their face and be like, oh, shit. Like.
Yeah.
But just the way they did it. And the fact that the director, I'm going to jump into one of the fun facts. The fact that the director, because we discussed, like, how would you get away from this? Oh, we'll just fly around the world a few times, and it will get super confused. Apparently, the director has explicitly said that neither a condom nor same-gender sex matter to the monster. It will still curse whatever. So it's not like
it doesn't exchange even follow of fluids. The rules of, like, right. what an how an STD has to be passed.
Correct. So you can't protect yourself against that. And then also, he said that the monster is smart enough to potentially board a plane to follow the cursed person.
So, that leads me to, like, another question. If it is truly a supernatural entity, it should not care about needing transportation. It should just, and it's there, right? It should be able to appear, right. to teleport, so it's always very close to you, or within 10-minute walk. That's terrifying. You can't sleep. You can't eat. You can't let your guard down if it's always, always there. But we get the illusion that
you can it's walking drive at an hour. The same pace. So how is it getting to you? Like, you can't calculate that still regardless. Because mm-hmm. if it's a sentient entity that is smart enough to board a plane, it's invisible, so it doesn't need a passport. It can just walk on the plane.
Yeah.
But, like, who is to say that it can't just hop on your car or another car to just mm-hmm. follow you? Like... mm-hmm. And the rate that it's walking...
very slow.
It's very slow.
You can outwalk it.
So I can't believe it managing to get on top of a moving vehicle or being boarded onto a plane fast enough before it, like, took off.
I think the problem partly lies in making the viewer believe that there is an escape from this entity when I think the way they could have played it is that there isn't. Right? Right.
And that's what he's trying to say, but, like, that wasn't what was shown.
No, not at all. That's not conveyed very well.
No. And the rules are so, like, they're sloppy. They're sloppy rules.
Mm-hmm. There.
Pass it along. Hope to live. It can take whatever form it wants. It feels lazy.
Yes.
I feel like the concept was there. Like, just the idea. Oh, ST demon. What can we do with that?
Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't do it. They took that idea and just stuck with that one little idea.
I think the way they did it is...
we could have had...
like, I don't know.
Instead of doing it, like, do, like, an origin story right away.
Yeah.
And then have, like we do with, like, Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
And have it start with the origin right away. So we understand.
Yeah.
Right from the get-go. So if you had sequels.
Yeah.
Then this movie would make a lot more sense. It and then would. They could do a whole lot more with it mm-hmm. and how to try to kill it. But they don't do that.
Right.
We have no context. We barely get good rules.
And there should be something, if you're going to make it like an STD, you have to actually address that. You have to actually address that problem in the real world implications that that has. And I don't feel like this movie does that at all.
Right. And if you're going down the supernatural route, why not, like, bring a witch or a psychic involved?
Yeah.
That can maybe try to help you through it. And that's how she figures out that she, like, this thing carried on to her because yeah. maybe the boyfriend didn't fully understand. So she has to figure it out and she seeks out help from psychics or witches or shamans or voodoo experts. Something.
She doesn't have any like character development to make it feel like she has in any way, shape, or form come to some kind of like
I get no character
comfortable, development. Yeah, like comfortable, like something that she's okay. If this is the way it's going to be, these are the things that I have to be okay with, and, like, she can somehow come to terms with that or something. She doesn't at all. She ends up sleeping with a guy and gets him killed, sleeping with another guy that she ends up with, but I never thought she actually romantically liked. And
we have no idea if the entity actually, like,
died or not.
Or if it killed the prostitutes that he went and slept with. Like,
I'm assuming it didn't because Paul did decide to sleep with the sex workers, but, like,
that's true.
I don't know.
Sex workers, I apologize.
No, you're good. I'm trying to be as, like, this is a difficult topic to discuss.
It is.
So, I'm trying to be as
I understand that, but yeah. I'm just, like,
it's, I just don't, it's just, it feels gross. Like we said, I think gross is a really good way to describe this. Like, I don't yeah. agree with it.
It's,
and this movie got a lot of hype when it came out.
It did. Like, we've had so many other movies that do explore things with...
Yes.
A lot of sexual issues, like rape and everything like that. But, like, yes, you had the consensual sex. But was it really consensual? Because he didn't express his diseases.
I don't know. I feel like... Depends on where you live, but I feel like
that's a conversation that most couples have, like, hey, like, especially yes. sexually
active. If you
are
sexually active and you are having sex with multiple partners, this is a conversation you should have.
Yes.
And if they lie to you, big fuck them. Like, they fucking suck.
Yeah. I feel like they could have done something with that.
Yeah.
Because that's a very top, like, that is discussed if you have multiple partners.
Mm-hmm.
And you're starting a new relationship, or... anything.
Or if you're just have multiple partners that, like, and you just happen to be...
Yeah.
Experience that in your life. Like, oh my god. Like, I just hate this movie. Like,
it's just done so poorly. And there are hot button topics. And it just...
Because I think it gets what they think they're getting away with is the fact that it's never explicitly stated. Like, it's never explicitly said, yeah, it's passed on through sex, but it's not ever said, like, oh, you got something, you know what I'm saying? It's not quite there. It's not a fully developed idea.
Yeah. They don't come right out and say, you're right, to be like, hey, I had sex, supernatural, ghosty coming after me.
Yes.
Like, we don't even really have her expressing to her friends and sister.
Like, we see her being very depressed. There's possible, like, there's pills involved at one point. There's possible substance abuse issues. Those are all things that I think are very valid given everything that happened, but I wish we would have talked about them.
And then explore those. Like, what is she taking?
Yeah.
That would warrant her friends to be dismissive.
Yeah.
Like, does whatever she's taking cause hallucinations? Like...
Or what? Or does she have a mad, cool, like, support group around her, and they're there through thick and thin? Because the main three, Paul, Yara, and Kelly, do seem like decent support system for her. They're worried.
And once they see some stuff happen, they believe her.
Yeah.
I have so many problems. I can't express anything else.
I can't either. I think we've fully explored that. Do you want to talk about fun facts?
I don't have many.
I don't either.
So J is short for Jamie, is tribute to Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yep, another Halloween reference.
Kelly for the sister in Jamie Lee Curtis's sister is named Kelly. So that's fun.
I have it was filmed in Detroit, Michigan.
Oh. Because that makes it so much better.
That makes it worse.
no, he said George Romero and John Carpenter were major influences in his style of filming. I didn't see that at all.
No, I didn't either.
At all.
I mean, part of it has to be the actors, actresses in this movie are not very good.
No. Absolutely not. Which, okay. In the 80s, it was a big thing in horror movies to cast someone as it's their first film.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that with Johnny Depp. We've seen that with Jamie Lee Curtis and her bigger roles in horror films after doing bit parts. We've seen that with Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Like, those are big name actors today. So it's not uncommon to just start someone's career in a shitty horror movie. But I see no future for
I don't think they've done anything since.
Because Jamie Lee Curtis, Kevin Bacon, and Johnny Depp, all phenomenal in those movies. Yeah. Granted, like, Friday the 13th, yes, it's cheesy, but it's great, and I love it. Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes. Johnny Depp's beautiful.
He's beautiful. He's beautiful. Jamie Lee Curtis, all of them are the best parts of their movies.
Well, I think the part of that, too, is those are iconic horror movies. Those are movies that will live
Yes, they became iconic after... Eric.
I don't and think if they this had, one will.
No, but it's that same, back then, they didn't know that they were going to be big hits back then.
Right,
people didn't know that slashers is what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But then this comes out because it's got it's different. No, it's not. It's just bad.
Yeah, I agree.
Different doesn't mean good.
I saw this closer to when it came out. So this is my second time seeing it. I don't remember it being spectacular then, either.
Yeah. I mean, even Corey, who recommended it to us, he's like, it's really bad, I like the concept, but I want your guys' opinion. And this is what we're getting. Corey already knew that I already hated it, because I was texting him right after you left, after we watched this, and he's like, how'd you like the movie? I'm like, it sucked! He's like, I know.
I will say, I appreciate the recommendation, because it is a really interesting topic to talk about, and we don't always have movies where we're like, this is how we would do it, or this is a conversation that we'd really like to have, because some movies are just like, if that was so good, I would change a thing! So it is nice to talk about some of these sometimes.
Yeah. Get the spectrum in there.
Yes.
Perspective. Critical eye.
Yeah, critical eye. I think...
Yeah, that's pretty much all I have.
I don't want to talk about it anymore. This makes me upset.
We've already talked about the other two fun facts that I have.
I have a tagline, real quick.
Oh my gosh, it's not just It Follows.
I know. It doesn't think, it doesn't feel, it doesn't give up.
I was expecting you to be like, It Follows You.
I mean, that would have been a better...
As a tagline, It Follows You. The title, It Follows.
I think it probably is like, it doesn't think, it doesn't feel, it doesn't give up. It Follows. That's probably like what the poster art is.
Yeah. All right, let's grade this shit.
All right, so Christy and I have 5 questions that we score on a scale of 1 to 10 each for a possible score of 50 and then 100 total. So we're going to go through that, but was it a good scary movie?
3.
2.
Like I said, I gave it for, concept.
Mm-hmm.
So, whether it's a good scary movie or horror movie is our opinions.
Yes.
Not, oh my gosh, it's amazing, because it's, iconic. No. Just wanted to clarify, was it a good, in our eyes, was it good?
No. Mm-mm.
The answer's no. So that's why 3 and a 2. So how was the acting?
3.
3?
Yeah, I didn't like it. How were the special effects?
5.
I said 6 because I liked some of what they did. There just wasn't a whole lot.
Yeah.
Was it a compelling story or interesting twist?
1.
So I give this an 8 because I think it opens a lot of doors and a lot of avenues to talk about. But I gave the next one, the writing,
it wasn't compelling.
I thought it was, it's compelling enough for us to talk an hour about it.
It's not even at an hour yet, but I'm still mad about it. Okay, and it wasn't compelling. Just because we talked about it for an hour doesn't mean it was compelling.
I think the idea of it is compelling. The base idea of what it could have been is very compelling.
Okay. Well, character development and writing?
This is a 2, though.
1.
Yeah, this is bad.
The writing is so bad.
It's bad.
I hate it. So, mine's a 13.
Mine's a 21.
Which gives us the score of 34, which is putting it in between Leprechaun from 1993 and Class of Nuke 'Em High from 1986.
Both more enjoyable movies than this one.
Very much so. Absolutely.
Now.
Without question.
Now, Christy.
Oh my gosh, our next movie. I'm in love with this woman.
Okay, you can introduce this.
So next for episode 49, oh my gosh, we're getting close to episode 50. We are covering Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Woo!
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, we won't have a high kill count, and it's definitely hilarious, but like, I love Elvira.
Elvira is amazing.
She is a boss bitch, like.
A much needed,
she
not
don't
this
take
movie.
Shit from anybody. Like, people come on to her, and she's like, no.
Please.
Like, you have no right to just get up all and be my business.
I am so excited to watch this. I've never seen it.
So I've watched this quite a few times.
It's probably going to be worth it. I am very excited.
Absolutely. So, if you want to give us recommendations and whatnot, go follow our Facebook at Unnerved, a Horror Movie Podcast. We have a wonderful group over there.
Mm-hmm.
As well as Twitter at Annerved. Like I said, give us any recommendations. Come leave us likes, comments, reviews, whatever. Mm-hmm. We'll post any tiebreakers over there that we need help with. And any kind of news that you want to share with us or whatever thing that we want to share with you, then we'll all be there. Mm-hmm. And if you like our artwork as much as we do,
then go visit my sister Danielle at Danny Draws Dragons over on Instagram. And if you like her that much, you can also listen to our episode about Annihilation, which she guest starred on, and she started talking to me about another one, Christy, that she wants to watch.
Oh, we'll have to discuss that when we go and get Culver's, because it's dinner time.
Yes, I'm hungry.
Be hungry, be ready for Elvira and her
mistressing of the dark?
Yes, of the darkness. But in the meantime, stay safe.
Yes, stay safe.
Stay spooky. Spooky season is getting ever closer.
Oh my gosh.
All of the major holidays leading up to it are already done. That means that Halloween is next.
I have pumpkin flavored chapstick right now, and I could like
me too
smell it, and I was like, fall.
I have a pumpkin candle here. I have pumpkin candle lotion.
Oh heck yeah. I have marshmallow pumpkin lotion too.
Oh my gosh!
Oh my gosh!
Oh my gosh.
And a warm apple pie candle.
Oh, I also have the chapstick as well, and I put that on today.
I know I could smell it. I was
pumpkin
like,
pie, is the title of mine.
I think mine is pumpkin. It's just pumpkin spice. It's pumpkin spice.
Mm-mm.
I know. I'm basic.
Yeah, you is, but I love you anyways.
Thank you.
But we'll come back in 2 weeks for Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. Bye.
Bye.